So, let's get into the final topic of today's episode. Let me just my microphone right in. There we go. So, the House of Representatives, have passed an Anti-Semitism Awareness Act in a 320-91 vote. So, three quarters of the House voted to fuck the American people for a second time in just a matter of weeks. The act requires the Department of Education to conform to the definition of anti-Semitism provided by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, who I will recall the IHRA for short for the rest of this segment, because that's a bit too much for me. But remember, IHRA is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. All right. So, this law is going to require the Department of Education to conform to the IHRA's definition of anti-Semitism when enforcing anti-discrimination laws. Now, what is the IHRA's definition of anti-Semitism that our government is effectively codifying into law, even though the 14th Amendment already exists and you already aren't allowed to discriminate people based on race or ethnicity? Which renders this bill meaningless and needless, I should say. It renders this bill needless, so what are we actually doing here? What is the IHRA's definition of anti-Semitism? Well, the definition is as follows. Quote, a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred toward Jews. So that's one. All right, that's pretty fair. They also say that rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed towards Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, towards Jewish community institutions and religious faculties. Now that one is incredibly vague, and so we already start to have problems here because of how vague it is. So rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism that are directed towards Jewish or non-Jewish individuals, property, Jewish community institutions, and or religious faculties. Well, okay. So we're already getting into the territory of vague, very, very vague. So if I do something that is provocative in a way that is designed to be provocative towards the stereotypical identity that we identify as being Jewish, even if you yourself are not a Jew, that could be anti-Semitism. All right, so you can already see the water is starting to get muddy already. All right, so this definition also includes mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews as such, or the power of Jews as a collective, such as especially but not exclusively. Oh my God, just finished the definition already. especially but not exclusively, the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other social institutions. Aha! And there's the tell. There's the giveaway. The Freudian slip, if you will. Let's just zoom in on that, because not all of it was in there. Right, but specifically Jews controlling media, government, or other social institutions. There's the tell, right? And that right there gives away the entire reason why they're using this obscure, what are they? This International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. That's why they've decided to take this obscure working definition from this obscure group. This incredibly broad, wide-ranging, and vague definition of anti-Semitism from such an obscure and unknown group, or the previously unknown group. That's why they've chosen to use their definition of anti-Semitism. Because the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling media, government, or other social institutions. And then the propaganda press is running round the clock. I mean, defense for this, their running around the clock defense for this, because all three of those things specifically are true. All three of the Jews controlling media, controlling government to a certain extent, and controlling social institutions, all three of those things are true in our country. And let's just run through the list. The propaganda press, running round-the-clock defense for Israel to hide its genocide in Gaza, and to justify and explain away everything that they do as being justified and explainable and not evil and not bad in any way. Oh, Hamas is terrorists, so it's okay that we killed 70% of the people we killed were women and children. It's okay that we bombed all those schools, bombed all those hospitals. It's okay that we've destroyed the healthcare infrastructure in Gaza and people can't get to a hospital to be treated and they die. Oops, it's okay because Hamas is a terrorist organization, la 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 la. You know, propaganda press running endless defense for them? That sounds like Jews controlling media. What about the government? I mean, Jewish billionaires who've all funded, who give these massive donations to our political candidates, AIPAC, hello, AIPAC, anyone. Other social institutions, Jewish and / Zionist billionaires, there is a difference, but Jewish and Zionist billionaires who've funded all these universities up till now, and who've only decided to pull their funding because the students have staged a revolt against Israel's actions. They were perfectly fine with all the anti-America rhetoric, all the anti-America curriculums, perfectly fine with all the anti-white people, we need a race war, all this critical race trash, we need to abolish the nuclear family. They were perfectly fine with all this. But the second these people pointed a critical finger at Israel, now we need to pull the funding. Now this has gotten out of hand. So that sounds like Jews and Zionists controlling other social institutions. Like such as education, specifically higher education. All right. So there's that. So media and so other social institutions. All right. And let's not even get into AIPAC. Hello, AIPAC. But what does AIPAC do? Oh, it openly lobbies our government on behalf of a foreign state, Israel. Specifically, the Jewish-only state in the world, which happens to be Israel. The only Jewish state in the world, which happens to be Israel. That sounds exactly like Jews, specifically Zionists, but Jews, controlling parts of our media, social institutions, and our government. That doesn't necessarily mean total control, but that wasn't the claim. Total control wasn't the claim. Control was the claim. And they are exercising in real time control over our media, our social institutions, and our government. And they're doing it out in the open. I mean, seriously. We just sent a threat to the ICC to keep them from issuing an arrest warrant against Benjamin Netanyahu, who himself is in danger of receiving an arrest warrant from his own Supreme Court. Like, all three of these things are true. All three of those things are true. Control of media, social institutions, and government. All three of these things are true. And let's not even get into the wave of cancel culture that happened when this crisis first broke out on October the 7th, and all these supposedly free speech warriors were pro-censorship of these students on these college campuses losing potential job prospects because they stood up to Israel. Don't hire these people. And all these billionaires, that's when all these billionaires started pulling their money out of these schools and institutions. They had all that in, and they were using that as a threat to sort of use it as a leverage to get the schools to do what they wanted. And then you have our government bringing in the heads of these colleges to grill them, not for what for their curriculums, not for them teaching anti-Americanism in higher education. No, that's not worth our time. They're being brought in to be grilled by senators on the issue of, can you define what a genocide is? Do you think that genocide is bad? Now, granted, those college heads did not do themselves any favors in that interview. in those interviews, in those hearings. But the fact that that was the priority in these hearings, not the anti-America curriculum being taught in these schools. Well, someone decided that this was an idea, and it was so urgent too, right? It was so urgent. We can't ever do that for America, but we can do it for Israel. All this is true. They do control our media. They do control our social institutions, and they do control our government. Not total control. Total control isn't the claim. Control. Some control. Visible control. And we can all see it now. We can all see that control now. So, but it continues. The definition continues. It just keeps getting more broad. It keeps getting more vague. I mean, denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, e.g. by claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor. I mean, well, the people who run Israel made it racist, though. Like, that's me acknowledging that Israel is an apartheid state isn't the problem. The problem is that Israel is an apartheid state who is occupying the rest of Palestine. I mean, come on now. And drawing comparisons of contemporary Israeli policy to that of Nazis. I mean, these niggas are literally committing a genocide, but okay. I mean, they've placed a selected minority into state-enforced ghettos. They blame that minority for all their problems. They steal the property and homes of the Palestinians through their resettlement program. And the settlement program is for the Lebensraum needed for the greater German... I mean, the greater Israel. But like, bruh. If you wanted to validate every conspiracy theory ever about the Jews, ever, this is exactly how you do it. You pass this bill. You pass this bill and just expose yourself. And it gets even better. Because an interesting kick about this, and you might have caught it a little bit back when I said that this was a working definition. You might have caught that. But an interesting kink about this definition is that it's a working definition. Meaning that this group, this, who are they again? the IHRA, right? Yeah, oh, fuck it. I'm damn near at the end of this. The International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. There. No, you're not going to get it out of me again. The International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. This is a working definition that they have. So we're codifying into law a working definition, i.e. a definition that is subject to change. And they deliberately leave room for themselves to change it later on. Now, you think that 80 years after the Holocaust, we'd be able to define in solid terms what anti-Semitism actually is, but not according to these people, and that's not important, according to Congress. So it's a working definition, meaning that this group, again, they've left the door wide open for them to come back and change, alter, or reinterpret their definition of the term anti-Semitism whenever they want. And this is the definition of anti-Semitism that our government wants to codify into law. And so with the way that this bill is set up, because we're going to effectively use their definition of the word for the enforcement of anti-discrimination laws in the United States, specifically with the Department of Education, with the way that it's so ambiguous and wide-reaching, wide-ranging, and broad, they can, and plus it's a working definition, so not only is it intentionally vague, but it's a working definition, so they can come in whenever they want and make changes and alterations, which would mean that should the Senate pass this ridiculous law, and look, the Supreme Court's going to slap this down. There's no way this thing survives a day in court if the Supremes get their hand on if the Supremes get their hands on this shit, it won't survive a day in the courts. But that's not but that's neither here nor there. This shit is trash. And it should be recognized as trash before it even gets out the gate. And I think even a lot of the Israel simps have sort of been snapped out of their stupor with this retarded bill because of how much of a blatant infringement on free speech it is. And because of how it's just really bad. the definition is too vague and too broad and wide-reaching, and it's a working definition. This is not something concrete that you can say, yes, this is the definition we're using. Everybody knows what anti-Semitism is now. We're clarifying what the rules are. Here you go. This is law now. They're not doing that. They're taking the most vague, broad, far-reaching, and inconclusive, because it's a working definition, inconclusive definition of anti-Semitism that they could find. And again, if you codify this into law, then the working definition, which can be changed at any moment by this same group, changed, altered, or reinterpreted at any moment, that reinterpretation becomes law. So to, and that means that the people doing the reinterpreting of the word, the people who would do the changing and altering of this working definition at the IHRA, they would be the ones who determine what this law means. So to summarize, the House has effectively outsourced, or at least they're trying to, they've outsourced legal authority in the United States on the issue of anti-Semitism. They have outsourced the legal authority of the United States to some random multinational organization that no one has heard of before, and they want to give them supreme power in determining what anti-Semitism is, for an anti-discrimination law in the United States to be used against American citizens, and they can define it however they want. It's a working definition, and it's intentionally vague. Too vague, too broad, too far-reaching to have any legitimacy as a solid definition for what anti-Semitism is. And out of all the places you could have grabbed the definition from, you didn't think to grab a thesaurus? You didn't think to grab a dictionary? No, you went to this organization specifically to grab the most vague definition you could find. So Congress is abdicating its constitutional authority and responsibility to legislate in the United States. They're abdicating that responsibility to NGOs. And why? Well, because Israel's our greatest ally. Oh, wait a second. Who could have possibly convinced our government to pass such a retarded bill? It couldn't have been the Jews. Oh my God. So in the process of trying to outlaw us taking note of the fact that our government is in part controlled by a conglomerate of Jews, specifically Zionists. Again, there is a difference. So in the process of trying to outlaw us making the connections that our government is run in part by Jews, our government is controlled in part by Jews, because it's controlled by a lot of people, just not us. The Israelis just happen to be on the board of directors for America, Inc. So in the process of, you know, trying to outlaw our ability to criticize them for that, they've exposed the fact that what they're trying to outlaw is in fact true. This is treason. The House has now voted in favor of treason again. I mean, they just passed that trash foreign aid bill to spend tens of billions of dollars on foreign countries, and now this? Treason. Treason, treason, treason. Now, what will come of this? I'm not entirely sure. Not entirely sure. Like, in a way, it's good. Like I say, in a way, it's good that Americans get to see that their government doesn't care, because we all know that our government doesn't care about us, but it's another thing to say it, and it's another thing to see. Oh, it's that kind of you don't care. It's not just the, oh, you're going to leave us alone. It's the, you actually just don't give a fuck. Well, thanks for the knowledge. You know, it's good to see that, but then there comes the action. Then there comes the action. We will see what happens this November. We will definitely see what happens this November. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just a little anxious because, you know, this is a direct affront to our sovereignty and to our Constitution. And we're not even halfway through the year yet. So these people are... I mean, they're doing this while Israel has the upper hand in the war. Oh, wow. What are they going to do when Israel starts losing? And what are they going to do when these people lose in the 2024 election? When they're in that 3-month interval between when Trump wins and between when he takes office, what are they going to do then? Oh, my God. Look, please be on guard, my lovely listeners. Do not get caught lacking, because I might not be certain of what exactly the specific consequences of this is going to be. I know it's going to get smacked. It will not survive a day in court by the Supremes. If the Supremes get their hands on this, it's over. But if there's one thing I'm certain of, it's that we ain't seen nothing yet. Be vigilant, my lovely listeners. It's going to get real hot this summer. It's going to get real hot. But that is all I've got for you today. I do hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast on my geopolitical podcast. The world is changing, folks, but we are going to have fun watching that change together. So I've been your host, Hyshawn Wade, and you've been listening to This Week in Geopolitics. So until we meet again next Monday, Servus.